So we've all seen Paula, Veronica, Meg, Lowry, Algy up here doing these Carolina stories, and it's always very meaningful experiences. They talk about deep relationships, academic excellence, overcoming obstacles, really motivational stories. So prepare to be disappointed. I remember seeing a Mike O'Korn played basketball in the late 70s, call it. He's from Jersey. And I remember seeing him do for all I know, it could have been at a celebration of Coach Smith's life. It was down at the Smith Center. And again, Jersey guy says, you know, they call us student athletes, and, you know, we was athletes, but I don't know that we was the greatest students. And I only bring that up because part of, I think, my success in life generally has been lowering expectations. So hopefully your expectations are appropriately lowered for these next several minutes. You know, some of my earliest childhood memories, I would give you two. One, being at the old Carmichael Auditorium. Couldn't tell you anything about the game, but we had a band conductor at the time named Major Y. And I literally remember being, you know, 2 foot nothing, and Major Y would let me grab the, what do you call this, sticks so you can, batons? Would let me grab the batons, and I would direct the band during timeouts of the games. One of my two earliest childhood memories. My other earliest childhood memory is my old man used to be a assistant coach here way back, and at the time there wasn't quite the money in the business that there is today, and one of his kind of side hustles was, this is back when I guess it was called 8mm film, but you literally had the Dean E. Smith coaches show, and it was on 8mm film, and the only way it got to different networks was somebody had to drive it. So I remember, again, earliest childhood memory, being woken up by my dad, thrown in the back seat, buckled or not, I have no idea. And we would drive the 8mm, I guess four of them, 8mm film from Chapel Hill at whatever, starting at 3 a.m. And we would drive to Greensboro. We'd get to Asheville in time for my grandmother to make us biscuits and gravy. Woke up for that. Then down to Charlotte to drop off the last film, and then back to Chapel Hill. So all of my really early memories, I think, are somehow related to the beginning, I guess, of my Carolina experience. I grew up in Kansas. I really only applied to three schools. It was Carolina, University of Texas at Austin, and Arizona State. Knew I wanted to get away from home, and I figured when the acceptance to Carolina came in, that was the easy answer. And maybe not because of what you were thinking, but I have kin all over this state, and which meant I had a free meal and a load of laundry that somebody could be helping me out with and doing. And that was about as scientific as I got probably with my college acceptance. I ended up coming here with my best friend, Brad Frederick, who's now actually on Coach Davis's staff on the basketball team, and his dad several years earlier had actually hired my old man at KU, and it was because Coach Smith told him to. That was it. Coach Smith told Bob Frederick to hire Roy Williams, and it happened. So again, my life and the direction thereof kind of being shaped by the Carolina experience. The first week in school, we lived at Granville, but the first week in school, Brad and I are in our room, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, lights off, we are asleep. Door goes swinging open, apparently we forgot to lock our door, and Shimon Williams is standing there. And Shimon says, he flips on the lights, and he says, "Hey, I hear you two Kansas boys want to hoop, get dressed and meet me outside in 5 minutes." Shimon Williams tells me to meet outside in 5 minutes. I'm going to meet him outside in 5 minutes. So we met him outside in 5 minutes. He drives us down to the Smith Center. We break in, physically break in. We turn the lights on. And within 10 minutes, there's probably 15 other guys there. Some guys that have been playing JV, some guys that have been playing varsity. And we hoop from midnight to 2 a.m. And that was my indoctrination into Chapel Hill. And we did that for that entire, it was 1995, so we did that entire preseason. Left our door open because we were not going to miss if Shimon wanted to get in and take us down to hoop. That led me to making the JV team. And that experience, I mean, four of the groomsmen in my wedding, I met from JV basketball. Just another story. We're at a Coach Smith always wanted his JV guys to have an experience of what it was like to play an away game. So we go down to Myrtle Beach. I couldn't tell you who we found to play, some community college or something down there. And we're sitting in a lobby. There's a piano, and one of our guys, Alton Mitchell. Did you ever know Alton? Alton from Wilson, the metropolis, as he liked to say, of Wilson, North Carolina. And Alton starts playing the piano. Alton's a black kid. I would have never in a million years expected what was about to happen. But Alton starts playing the piano, and he is phenomenal. And he starts taking requests. And the way he takes requests is we've all got our Discmans at the time. And so we'd put Boys to Men, Shy, whatever, on his head. He'd close his eyes and listen to 30 seconds, and he'd take it off, and he'd play. And those type of experiences, that is what, you know, made my Carolina experience for me. You know, we'd spend the summers, we'd take classes, we'd work camp, and we'd go up to the Smith Center at night, and we'd hoop. And I'm looking up there on the court, and it's me, Donald Williams, Dante Calabria, Stackhouse, Rashid Wallace, two of my teammates, Vincent and Twan. And in any given game, I'm the only dope out there that is clearly not ever going to make a dime playing basketball. Then I go home for second session of summer school. I go back to Kansas, work camp and work out in the morning, referee games at night, and then we go up to Island Fieldhouse at night. Me, Brad Frederick, again, my buddy, Jock Vaughn, Paul Pierce, Ray Flafrenz, Rex Walters, Steve Woodbury. And again, I'm looking up on the court. I am the only dope that is not going to be making his living playing basketball. But after those games were over with, sitting there talking to those Kansas guys about my experience at Chapel Hill, there was a mysticism around this place, even from Kansas, who has a pretty good reputation and a pretty big history in the space. But all they wanted to hear was about, you know, what it was like playing here and what the games were like and what the Duke rivalry was like. And again, it's just it's just, you know, magical when you see that coming from peers in that aspect. My favorite parts really weren't playing basketball. It was the bus rides. It was the hotel room. It was being in Washington, D.C., telling the blue team, so again, all the suckers that weren't going to play, boys, we're going to meet at 11 o'clock at night by the elevator on that end. Just be quiet because we can't wake up the coaches. We snuck out. We're all in, because all we carried, all we wore were Carolina kind of warm-ups, because a bunch of our guys had never seen the mall. And so we snuck out so we could go see the mall, see the monuments lit up at night. Now, this was not my idea, but we ended up walking past a bar. And if any of you have been to D.C., worked in D.C., you realize that the colleges are like 8-1 girls to guys. There's a bouncer outside. We are all clearly Carolina basketball players. Guy says, hey, do you guys want to come in? Love to have you guys come in, give you all the free drinks you want. And I'm like, let me stop you there. That's not the headline we want, but you'll let us in free? Yeah, we'll come. And we go in. This is probably one of my two basketball-related highlights. I see Brennan Haywood. Brennan stood probably 6'11", 6'11 and a half. Brian Burstiger was 6'10". And this very attractive young lady comes up to the two of them and says, oh, my God, you guys play basketball for Carolina. And you can see them both kind of puff up their chests a little bit. We do. And she goes, "Do you know Scott Williams?" I swear to God. I swear to God, this actually happens. And I'm close enough that I kind of see this. And just the look of sheer, like, disappointment, confusion on their faces. And it ends up that she had a roommate that was originally from Kansas or something. But again, it's those moments that I valued probably more than, and again, it wasn't like I was getting on the court much anyway. So I don't have a ton of highlights there, but that was my highlight. That was my, you know, Carolina experience. I think it was a hurricane, but knocked out power and water, I think, to Carmichael Dorm my sophomore year. And again, being able to take my entire floor, again, break into the Smith Center so that we could all take showers. We took a trip to the federal penitentiary, and some of our guys ended up knowing some of the guys that were in there as they're walking past. And seeing, again, the elation on our guys' faces when we walked out, and a couple of our guys got down on the ground and kissed the ground, because you want to be set on the straight and narrow, go visit the federal penitentiary. Doing donuts in the back parking lot at the Smith Center when it would ice over. That's the stuff I remember. I took out a bush one time. Made it 4 years until somebody ratted me out to the maintenance staff. But that's the type of thing that you know, was my Carolina experience. I do have one actual story. We're in Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska, for the Great Alaska Shootout my junior year. We were stacked. We had the best team in the country. And for the championship game, it's number one Carolina versus number three UCLA in the championship game. Now, again, we've covered the fact that I'm not adding a lot to the actual games, but I was a prolific pregame meal eater. So when I knew that I was not smelling the court, I would go deep. And so it's the number one team versus number three team in the country. I go through pregame line like three times. Brennan Haywood is sending me his food because that's how much I ate. So I'm walking into the game like as happy as a fat cat can be, just because I get front row seats to number one versus number three. At halftime, we've got them by 30. And my stomach is so nervous, it is absolutely turning in knots, because holy hell, I might actually get in this damn thing. We get to the second half, we are just absolutely giving it to them. Minute and a half goes in the game, and I'm not making eye contact with Coach Guthridge, because it is literally the last thing I want to do. And he comes walking down, he's like, "Scott, go ahead and get in the game." So I run out there on the court, and it's the only time in my life I've ever walked the ball up the court. But if I had run the ball up the court, I would have puked on national TV in the middle of the court. No doubt in my mind. I do eventually graduate, and I interview. But before that, I guess I interview for a job my senior season. And I walk into an office at the old First Union in Charlotte, and a guy who's, I guess he's probably the third of my ninth straight every 45-minute interview. And he says, "Scott, I'm Jim Sigmund. Take your shoes off, put your feet on my desk. We're going to talk Carolina basketball." I will go so far as to say there's not a job I've had in my entire life that I did not get, at least in part, because of the fact that I went to this university and played ball here. And that was just my first real experience with exactly how meaningful that was. So I took my shoes off, and we talked for Carolina basketball. I met my wife here. She was a cheerleader. We actually dated 7 years before we got married, and back to my original theme. People say, why in the world did it take you 7 years to actually get married? Expectation management. I was able to lower her expectations over that seven-year period by such an extent that was a bar that even I could then jump over. I affectionately call them my two idiots, but I have a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old son. They're Carolina experience, you know, we won it in 2017, and they're telling me how excited they are about being able to come back next year. They have no idea because they got to go 16-17, and I thought that's just what Carolina basketball does. We just go to the Final Four every year. But one of my favorite memories of, I guess it was the 2016 game, it was the semifinal game, is my then, I don't know, four-year-old or whatever has a loose tooth, and I love pulling little kids' teeth. I don't know what it is, but I love it. And I yank his tooth out right before halftime, and he's pretty excited about it because it's a tooth, it's an earlier one, whatever. And Odell Beckham Jr. is sitting in the Carolina section, and he comes down, and I'm like, this is a great time. This would be kind of a fun picture to take, a picture of the idiots with Odell Beckham Jr. So I say, boys, get in there with him. Do you mind taking a picture? He says, yeah, no problem. And my, again, 4 or 5-year-old, whatever he was at the time, proceeds to tell Odell Beckham Jr. that he just lost his tooth. I literally have to wait there with the camera because Odell is having a conversation with my son about how he lost a tooth, but he got a gold one, and that my 4-year-old ought to think about getting a gold one. And this whole conversation happens as I'm standing there. I just really want to take a picture, and I appreciate you being nice to my kid. But again, like the situations we find ourselves in because of what we've done here and the opportunities, it's just phenomenal. I ended up living in London 2 years. We'd get together with other Carolina grads, and we'd come over to my flat because I had, at the time, it was called Sling TV, and it literally tapped into your TV because I kept my house in Charlotte. And so I was like the game watching, whether it was football, basketball, whatever. Basketball was tough because it ended up being, you know, 3, 4, 5 in the morning a lot of times. I had, when I moved back to Charlotte, I was still sort of playing a little bit of basketball, and I'd have this Scott Williams Invitational. I rented out a gym. I invited the people. The first 11 that responded to my email got to play. My team got ball first. I picked teams, and if you lost more games than you won at the end of the night, you had to do 5 down backs on the court. So games stayed competitive. We only played for an hour and a half, but Brennan Haywood, Antoine Jameson, Julius Peppers, those guys came and played in the Scott Williams Invitational, and every single daggone one of them ran at the end of the night if they lost more than they won. And again, there's that expectation that comes with being a Carolina athlete, Carolina grad. We do workouts at my house to this very day. We've got a Carolina lacrosse player, a Carolina baseball player that come over to my house at 5 a.m. on every Friday morning. So I've done my best not to lose those connections. My crew of friends in Charlotte, I guarantee I'm as popular as I am because of my experiences and that I'm something unique because I've been a part of what this is. I now work at a firm called Lincoln Harris. We do commercial real estate. I'm on the operating committee, and we're run by a bunch of Carolina people. I do wonder, though, my old man was actually the first in his family to go to college, and his high school basketball coach was actually the one that forced him to go to Carolina. Said, no, this is good. You need to do this. And I do think if it were not for Coach Baldwin, would I have a Carolina story? Is that something that it kind of started this whole thing in motion for me? Because every move, every life event, every success I've had, I don't mind saying it, it's partly because, and not even partly, probably directly in many cases, because of what I got here. So thank you for the time. I'm sure I went over. I told Larry this morning, I have no idea this is going to be 10 or 20 minutes or two. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So thank you.